I don't like waiting on the market to determine the value of my asset. I like somebody who's going to force the appreciation, do improvements to the asset, so that regardless of what the market does, that asset is going to be worth more when they're ready to sell it or refinance it.
Welcome to Passive Income Unlocked, where we unlock the doors to intelligent, hands-off real estate investing. We talk to experts in the space about what they do, how they do it, and most importantly, why they do it. My passion is careful, intelligent investing and closing the investing gap one investor at a time. While money doesn't buy happiness, passive income does have the potential to buy back your time. What would you choose to do with your time if you had enough passive income to live your best life? How would you like to spend your days? What kind of impact would you like to make? I'm here to tell you, dream big. There's no ceiling. It's all possible if you take consistent action towards your goals. It's been said that success is 80% mindset and 20% strategy. So we discuss both. Ready to gain knowledge and take action? Let's dive in.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today, I'm so excited to announce our guest for the day, Jim Pfeiffer. Jim, thanks so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Awesome. So everyone, Jim Pfeiffer is one of the founders of Left Field Investors, a group dedicated to educating and assisting like-minded investors negotiate the nuances of the passive investing landscape and world of syndications. Jim is a former financial advisor who became frustrated with the one-path-fits-all approach of the standard financial services industry. Jim now concentrates on investing in real estate, real assets that produce cash flow, and is committed to sharing his knowledge with others who are interested in learning a different way to grow wealth. Well, I am just so excited to talk to you, Jim. As a former financial advisor, I'm sure you have just a wealth of perspective and experience to share with our audience. So why don't you start us off by telling us, you know, obviously you're a financial advisor, what drew you into the real estate space?
Well, I think, you know, when I was a financial advisor, I learned, it was kind of a second career for me, or actually a third career. I just learned a lot more about money and finance. And the more I learned about money and finance, the more I found out that, you know, real assets that are producing income for you, they grow wealth better than paper assets. And, you know, the way I look at it, if you're investing in the stock market, that's a paper asset. You're basically just hoping for appreciation. In the market, you're betting on what other people think the price will be in the future and hoping that you can sell it to them for more. Where in real estate, you're betting that you can maintain and even increase the income that the asset produces. So you pocket that income, and then once the income from that asset is increased, you'll likely also have appreciation for the asset. So you're forcing appreciation rather than hoping the market saves you or, you know, makes you money. And that's what I like about real estate. And the more I kind of learned about money and how money works, the more attracted I became to real assets and real estate.
Awesome. Thanks for breaking that down for us. I'd love to just hear your perspective on why it is that, you know, I mean, in my experience, if an investor runs a deal that I put in front of them by their financial advisor and they're a relatively new investor, oftentimes the financial advisor will say that, you know, this syndication looks risky, I would be careful. And what are your thoughts on why that's like such a common response from financial advisors and just, you know, anything else around that?
Well, I think it's easy for financial advisors to say it's risky because to them it is. They call it alternative investments, right? They don't understand it. They don't know anything about real estate. They only know what they know, which is paper assets, stock market, you know, all of the financial tools that they are allowed to use by whoever, whatever company they work for. So naturally, they're going to sell what they have to sell. That doesn't mean every financial advisor is turning you away from real estate or these alternative investments because they're just trying to, you know, keep you in their box. I think some of that is the case. But for others, it certainly is risky to them because they don't know about it. It's the same when someone brings me a deal in the real estate world and says, hey, what do you think about this deal? I might say, hey, that's risky, because I don't know the sponsor of the deal, or I don't know that market, or I don't know that asset class. It doesn't mean it's risky. It just means it's risky to me because I don't understand it. So financial advisors don't necessarily understand real estate because they don't invest in it and they don't sell it, but they're also not incentivized to look into it, because if they were to recommend it, they're not going to get paid for that. Now, again, that doesn't mean there aren't financial advisors out there who say, yes, go do real estate, on the side, they're not all just trying to keep all the commissions in-house or the fees, but a big part of it is they don't get paid to recommend it and they don't necessarily understand it.
Got it. Thanks. I like the way you broke that down. And that is true for me too. If I, you know, a deal comes across my desk, it feels risky to me because I don't know. I mean, if I don't know the sponsor, if I don't know the asset class, et cetera, or the market, it does feel inherently risky because I just don't understand it. So I like that. And the other things that you brought up there, what was it that, I mean, I know you kind of touched on what it was that you like about real estate as opposed to the stock market. Can you give us a little bit more color as to your story of how you actually transitioned from, you know, financial advising to doing real estate full time?
Sure. I'm the accidental landlord. In 2008, we built a new house and we tried to sell our old house and we couldn't because the market was just terrible. So we rented it out for 5 years and I hated it. I didn't like being a landlord. And so when I went to sell 5 years later, when the market recovered, my realtor said, hey, how about I manage this rental for you? And I thought, okay, well, that'll take care of that problem. So I let him do that. And at the same time, he said, why don't we buy some more? And I had had that house paid off, the rental house paid off. So I just refinanced it and bought two more properties. And that's when the light bulb went off. You know, you get the equity in your home or the equity in a property earns a 0% return, right? There's no return on that money. So I refinanced it, went out and bought two more. And that's when it just took off. I became an active real estate investor buying multifamily and other assets. And I really got into it. And then I transitioned to what I'm doing now, which is passive investing, because I didn't like managing the property managers. And I was constantly having trouble finding good property managers other than my first property manager. He was really good, very difficult. And when I found passive investing, I found that I could get very similar returns and I didn't have to manage a manager. I would have a professional person who what they do in their day job is manage the assets. And so they would manage the assets for me and I would just contribute some capital.
For sure. So how did you just determine, like, I mean, that process of going from having your own portfolio where you're managing the property managers to doing real estate syndications where you're a limited partner, were you like looking at your books or how did you just determine and decide that it was pretty much the same kind of returns or similar? What was that like for you?
Well, I thought I wanted to, once I was getting really into real estate, I thought I wanted to be a sponsor. I wanted to be a syndicator. So I went to a seminar for syndicators to learn how to become a syndicator. And when I was there, I found out I definitely did not want to be a syndicator. I wanted to be a passive investor. And that's kind of where I learned. And so I just kind of compared my own results to the pro formas of what they were advertising and the past results of these syndicators and found that the returns weren't that much different. You know, I can put $25,000 into a single family turnkey home and expect, you know, $200 or $300 a month in cash flow. Well, I can do the same thing and put $25,000 into a syndication and I might get $200 of cash flow. And I know that I'm also going to get a professional manager who will manage the asset better than I would or my other property managers would. And the returns at the end, the appreciation and the forced appreciation will get me a much better result. I don't like waiting on the market to determine the value of my asset. I like somebody who's going to force the appreciation, do improvements to the asset so that regardless of what the market does, that asset is going to be worth more when they're ready to sell it or refinance it. So I just really like the model of forced appreciation, refi, get your capital back, and it produces velocity of money. And it just seemed better fit where I wanted to go than the active investing.
Okay, great. And I want to circle back to more about your experience as a passive investor. But first, will you also speak to, you know, your colleagues in the financial advising industry? Did any of them have any rental portfolios or do you think were they considering real estate as an investment vehicle?
None of the people that I talked to had real estate. In fact, you know, I run a group called the Left Field Investors. And the way we came up with that name is because all of my colleagues in the financial advising world thought I was out in left field when I would talk about real estate or tell them, you know, I was going to quit advising and go become a real estate investor. So I haven't had, you know, I know there's a few financial advisors that I know that I work with that do understand and help people invest in real estate as well. But for the most part, they're focused on what they're good at, which is, you know, the stock market, bonds, all the financial products that Wall Street sells and promotes.
Okay, awesome. And I know you touched on it in the beginning as to why you prefer some of the things that you prefer about real estate as opposed to stocks in terms of being able to add value and be in control of, you know, forcing appreciation, increasing the net operating income. Is there anything else that you can speak to? I mean, I'm thinking about market cycles, and obviously stock market goes in cycles, and so does real estate. So from your perspective as a former financial advisor who's now in real estate, how do you think about market cycles and how stocks and real estate kind of all fit in?
Well, you know, to me, I don't care about market cycles. I understand the stock market goes up and down, and so does real estate. But if real estate prices go down, I'm still cash flowing. You know, the rents that I get aren't going to change that much. They might go down a small amount, but, you know, the rents are renewed every year. So it's not, you know, if the real estate market tanks 30%, my rents aren't going down 30% the next day. My net worth isn't going down 30%. I'm just not concerned about it, because as long as I buy into deals that are cash flowing, they'll still cash flow when something goes down, right? During the pandemic, the stock market dropped, I don't know, 30, 40%, and real estate was fine. And, you know, most tenants kept paying their rent, at least in the markets I'm in. So it's not that I ignore the market cycles. I'm just not that concerned with it, because I'm not dealing with paper assets. I'm dealing with real assets that produce cash flow. And the cash flow is not going to decrease nearly as much as the market values might.
For sure. Definitely a great reason to stick with real estate is that it'll continue to cash flow. Is there anything that you, when you're looking at real estate investments, how do you manage? I mean, this is a kind of a big question, but if you could speak to some aspects of how you manage risk when you're evaluating a deal.
This show is sponsored by Lux Capital Investment Group. Lux Capital provides pre-vetted, highly favorable investment opportunities on a risk-adjusted basis. Our opportunities are diversified across asset classes, geographies, and operators. We are nothing short of rigorous in our approach to evaluating investments. We focus on downside protection, conservative underwriting, recession-resistant asset classes, and forging strong relationships with operating partners and investors. If you want to be an intelligent, hands-off investor and gain access to the types of deals that I like to invest in personally, make sure to go to lux-cap.com, L-U-X-E-cap.com, and sign up for our newsletter.
Yeah, the most important part of any real estate investment to me is the sponsor, the syndicator, who's running the deal. And, you know, I have to get comfortable with them and know, like, and trust them. That is absolutely number one, because you can take a great real estate investment and torpedo it with a bad manager. And the same token, a great manager can take a bad investment and make it a little bit better. So managing risk is really managing the syndicators I'm investing with. I also look at different markets. I don't want to be all in one market. So I diversify by sponsor. I don't put all my money with one or two sponsors. I have, you know, lots of different sponsors. I go into a lot of different markets, not just the popular ones, but I look for some other tertiary, secondary markets that are interesting to me. And then the third part is the deal. Then I look at the deal and kind of see if I like it. And then also asset class, right? I'm not just in multifamily. I'm in, you know, self-storage, mobile homes, ATMs, industrial, triple net leases. So I think for me, I manage risk by diversification among sponsor, market, and asset class.
Awesome. So when you're talking to investors who are maybe considering new to real estate syndications, what do you find are some of the key questions that come up or things that, you know, are helpful when to help someone understand this space?
Yeah, I think it's just knowledge. And that's kind of why we put together Left Field Investors. It's a place that people can go to learn about syndications and also to network with others. So we have a lot of new people coming in. And I think they're just nervous because, you know, to get into a syndication, you have to put $25,000, $50,000 into it, and you have to wire it to somebody you've never met and you might have only had two conversations with. So I think a lot of it is educating them on how these syndications work, what asset classes to look for, how to vet a sponsor, and how to determine, you know, do I want to go with this one or that one? And the last part really is the deal and helping them become comfortable with the deal. So again, through Left Field Investors, we have a membership group where we have all kinds of tools that help analyze deals, that help you vet sponsors, that help you pick markets, and a forum where you can discuss things. So I think with new investors, it's just really about education and trying to make them comfortable. Because most of their financial lives, they've been told, save money, put it in the stock market. And to me, you can build wealth that way, but, you know, putting a bunch of money in your 401k, you know, that's not going to be enough, I don't think, in retirement. Because what happens in retirement is you have to just take, you know, 4% is the 4% rule, right? So if you have $1 million, you're taking 4% out. If the day you retire, there's a stock market crash, and now you have 800 grand instead of $1 million, your income has gone down, right? But if you have that same $1 million and you put it all in real estate and it's throwing off 8%, now you're making more money. It's also taxed less, but also if the market crashes, you're still probably making close to that 8%. So I just think that they call it alternative investing, and I don't think it's alternative. It's just not as well known. So I think getting people comfortable with the process and what syndications is, then they start to see, okay, this is something I want to do.
For sure. Makes a lot of sense. So what role has community played in your investing career?
It's been huge. I mean, the Left Field Investors, this group I started, my plan was just to have 12 people locally go to dinner and talk about passive investing. And the pandemic came and we never met. We still haven't met, but we started meeting online through Zoom meetings. Then we had syndicators come talk, and you know, now our network has grown, and each person that comes in has something different to add, whether it's a new sponsor, a new take on a market, or a new asset class. And so really the most powerful moment, I think, for me was when I got together with a couple of other people online and I met someone who had invested with the same sponsors I had. And not only that, they invested in the same deal that I had. And the sense of relief to find someone else in my community who had made the same $25,000 investment, it just made me feel like, okay, I'm on the right track. This is a smart guy. He knows what he's doing and we're doing the same thing. So I think community for this kind of thing is everything, because it's not what everybody's doing. And when you're doing something different from everybody else, it helps to have a community who also understands what you're doing and is interested in it.
Yeah, definitely. That makes a lot of sense. And it's actually been so fun this last year meeting Zoom, because sometimes, you know, there's just not so many people that in my particular area that want to talk about passive investing, but there's a whole world of people who want to talk about passive investing on Zoom, and it's making that more normal has been beneficial, at least for our industry, I think.
For sure.
So what other sort of pearls of wisdom or lessons learned might you have for someone who, you know, is considering getting into passive investing, but is feeling kind of nervous about it? I know we talked about the sponsor. Any other stories or things that come to mind?
Yeah, I think finding a community, and Left Field Investors is a great one, but there's certainly others that you can go to as well. Finding a community and being able to talk about this with other people gives you some confidence. There's also opportunities to do group investing. We do a group investing through a company called TribeVest, which allows different people to come together and form an LLC and invest in syndications easily. And that allows you to diversify, right? Instead of getting in with $25,000, if you find four other people, you can get into these deals with only $5,000 of your own capital. So it allows you to diversify more, and it takes the pressure away from, oh my gosh, you know, $25,000 or $50,000, that's a lot of money to put into one deal. So I think finding other people you can invest with, finding a community, those are helpful. I also think, you know, we all have, it seems like everybody in our group has shiny object syndrome, where they see one thing and they got to go do it, and they see another thing and they got to go do it. And that's exactly what I did when I first started passive investing, is I had my old 401k rollover. And so I just used that and started investing with every syndicator I had met. Well, I would not do that again, right? Because you really need to vet the syndicators and have a better idea of who they are and what they're doing. And I think the caution I would give, if you have some capital and you're ready to allocate it, just calm down, go slow, think it through. And I think that I see the tendency of other people who come with, you know, a bucket of cash. They just want to do as many deals as possible and as quickly as possible. And I get that. You don't want your cash just sitting in the bank, but just take your time and lean on others in your community, so you're making good investments with quality syndicators. I think that's the most important.
Yeah, for sure. I've definitely had that conversation with a couple of folks who've had a liquidity event of some sort. And I mean, what I've suggested, just as, you know, one possibility, is give yourself a year to allocate the capital so that you have time to, you know, there are going to be plenty of deals. You just want to make sure that you feel really comfortable with the deal and the sponsor and the market, et cetera. So yeah, that's, I think it's easy to feel impatient, like the money's burning a hole in your pocket because you want it to be working, but it's also important to be cautious. So I want to touch on TribeVest, because that's something that I know is happening more and more. Can you explain what the costs of that are and what you would say like a minimum amount you'd want to gather in one of those LLCs are?
Yeah, so the cost is, there's a couple different plans, but basically it's between $5 and $10 per person per month, but they cap it, I think, at $35 or $50 per month. So it's not expensive. You know, I'm in five different tribes and they vary in size from three people in a tribe to 11 people in a tribe. And really, if you're doing a tribe to do passive syndication investing, you want to make sure you can get at least $25,000 in capital, a total from your group to get into one deal. So, you know, depending on how much you want to contribute and how much everybody else can contribute, that's kind of the absolute minimum. And I would recommend, you know, maybe getting up to $50,000 or $75,000 within the first year so you can do multiple deals and get a little bit more diversification. But it's just a really, TribeVest is just a platform that makes it easy to form the LLC, get a business bank account. I mean, I already know how to do all of those things, but I continue to use TribeVest because the platform just makes it easy. And they have, you know, any decision you make, the whole tribe has to vote on it. And the TribeVest website, they just have a great way of making all that easy. The voting and the messaging and banking and all of it, just it just simplifies the process.
Awesome. Well, that's definitely a resource that would be really helpful for many people to check out who don't necessarily want to put a whole $25,000 or $50,000 into one deal. So thank you so much, Jim, for sharing so much of your knowledge and experience, tons of value provided today. Will you please take some time to give the listeners an idea of how to get in contact with you and anything else you'd like to share about you and your firm?
Sure. You can get in touch with me by emailing me at jim@leftfieldinvestors.com. Or you can go to our website, which is www.leftfieldinvestors.com, and there's a subscribe button. For those that are interested in digging in a little bit deeper, you know, our website has a blog. We have a podcast called Passive Investing from Left Field. We have some articles on our website, list of syndicators. There's a lot of resources there. And for those that really want to get into it, we have what we call the Infielders Group, which is a membership group. And it's $199 a year to join that. And that gives you access to our tools like the deal analyzer, the sponsor overview, and the forum, and then a portfolio tracker. So there's a lot of new tools coming up, including sponsor reviews, which hopefully will get done in the next couple of months.
Awesome. Well, everyone, I hope you check out some of Jim's content and free resources. Thank you so much, Jim, for coming on. Really appreciate it and can't wait to see you next time.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for listening to Passive Income Unlocked. Before you go on to continue with your amazing day, please take a moment to reflect on what you truly desire in life. Then think about one thing you can do to push the ball forward in that direction. Also, please head over to iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave an honest rating and review of this show. It really would mean so much to me. Passive Income Unlocked is brought to you by Lux Capital. Lux works with investors nationwide to invest in real estate. We are closing the investing gap one investor at a time. Connect online at www.lux-cap.com, LUXE-CAP.com, for tons of free educational content to further your success.